Good evening, my friends. Good evening and welcome. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm thrilled that you're with us. It is Thursday, June 14th, 2007, about 11 p.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome. Welcome, welcome. So as we edge closer to the weekend, of course, more and more news out there, and just sorting through it today, just realized that, you know, it's just almost a mind-numbing amount of material. Joining us later on the program is going to be news analyst Greg Colson, and he and I are just going to sort of head and go through some of the things that are happening out in the world and sort of speculate on where they could be at and where they might be going, and, of course, lots of things that will be able to be sourced by you. We love to provide you with information that can enhance your knowledge and your awareness of things. It's just a matter of convenience, and I think it's very important as well that I don't sit there and feed you false stories or say secret sources say this, anything like that. It's very important for me that you're able to, of course, reinforce this and confirm all of these things, and that's why we pull from a lot of the mainstream sources and look for things that you can quite easily find as well on your own. So a lot of our guests have written books and things of that nature, so it just makes it easier for everybody to be able to confirm these things. Because I'll tell you what, it is a truism, certainly, that truth is stranger than fiction, and the real news is far, far, far more interesting than any fake news that you might be able to drum up. But anyway, there's certainly a lot out of it, a lot of it out there. If you've been paying attention to the Middle East, you know that the Palestinian territories are just absolutely falling apart. A virtual civil war there. And I find that to be interesting because we had talked about this many, many, many months ago, in essence, that the U.S. government apparently was destabilizing certain areas. And one of the areas they were doing that was, of course, the Palestinian area, turning the Hamas and Fatah factions against each other in order to, of course, presumably do exactly what they're doing right now, which is, the government's basically been dismissed. And they probably will have some sort of emergency temporary government set up and then go right into elections, which is probably what they wanted in the first place. Because remember, we're trying to bring people democracy in the Middle East and in other areas. And then, of course, when they utilize that democracy to vote in somebody that they want, such as Hamas, labeled a terrorist group here in the United States and in other countries as well, well, then we're not such a big fan of democracy. We might try to destabilize that democracy and allow things to happen. So whether or not that's true, and that was from a story a long time ago whose source escapes me at the moment. But it was out there. I'm sure you probably heard it. If not, it's in the archives. It's a very interesting story. It also mentioned about destabilizing Iraq, okay, the Shiites and the Sunnis. Now, the destabilization in that regard leads to more conflict, sectarian violence, in which the Shias and the Sunnis would be killing each other, perhaps, rather than killing American troops. So there's a benefit there, and then the other benefit, of course, would be the news, capturing the entire negativity of the whole situation as they are wont to do very, very well. And as a result of that, say, Iraq isn't working, we need more troops, which also they have done, and also they're saying now is not working. Who knows what the next step will be. So all of that just in that one area and all sourced from that one story, so pretty fascinating stuff happening over there in the Middle East. We'll probably talk about that a little bit. And then when we wrapped up last night, we had that story about AT&T basically divulging in the unredacted documents that they, in essence, complied or volunteered, who knows, space in their facilities for the NSA to come in and just basically tap right into people's, you know, internet phone calls and various forms of communication. So there's a lot of privacy issues out there, folks. We do still have some freedoms, believe it or not. They are still there, and we'll probably dive into some news stories that cover some of that when we come back here in about 3 minutes. Folks, stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I'm thrilled you're with us. We've got a lot of stuff to get into here tonight, and, well, what can I say? It's Thursday. And as I said, head closer to the weekend, a lot of very interesting news stories coming out, some of which you may have seen, some of which you probably have not, but that's okay. We'll cover some of it, and you're more than welcome to weigh in with your thoughts, as always. 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide. 1-800-313-9443. Other bits of required information, the website for the network, republicbroadcasting.org. Lots of great information there. And contact information, things for sale, things you can do to help support the network, help support the show. It's all right there, republicbroadcasting.org. Our website, as you know, franklyspeakingradio.com. It's technically Webmaster James's site. He does all the work, his own time, his own expense. We appreciate him so much. He does a lot of great things to make... make it easy on all of us, honestly, because that way when I'm reading out, you know, internet websites for our guests and things, you know, I can just say, go there. Hopefully it's something you know well enough at this point in time. So, we're supposed to be, getting some rain here. I don't know. It's been really chaotic, and the rain that we have gotten has been moderately violent. So, I don't know if we're going to get any rain tonight, but the other night, while we were doing the show, I didn't mention it. I was kind of keeping my fingers crossed, you know, knocking on wood. I'm not really superstitious, but, you know, people, just making a point. I was watching the lightning flashing. It was probably at least two every second for, I don't know,
for the 60 seconds I looked out the window. Quite a bit of lightning out there, and looks okay so far, so I don't anticipate any disruptions in the program. Of course, we already had some technical difficulties, but they're worked out now, courtesy of Manny there in the studios. He will be the one answering the phones when you call, so give a cheery hello to him. All right, so on with the news. Mentioned this one, came out earlier today from the Washington Post. Justice Samuel A. Alito Jr. made it clear that he began, as he began taking questions at yesterday's National Italian American Foundation luncheon, that he could not reveal any of the Supreme Court's forthcoming opinions. But did he at least give a hint? Two of the court's biggest remaining cases focus on the First Amendment. And while Alito did not mention either one, he did make it clear that any restrictions on speech face a high hurdle with him. He said in response to the question of where's the line of what can and cannot be posted on the Internet, he said, quote, I'm a very strong believer in the First Amendment and the right of people to speak and to write. I would be reluctant to support restrictions on what people could say, end quote. Well, bravo to you, Justice Samuel A. Alito, possible Opus Dei member. Anyway, I bring this up because it sounds like a good thing, and it may be a good thing. I hope that he is, actually. Pretty plugged into the whole free speech thing, and that they think it's a good thing. I just don't know if I believe it. And so many times we hear conditions being laid on how, where, when, why, and who is allowed to gather, to protest, to you know, what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say. We already know that people are being clamped down on their free speech to express themselves. There was a soldier who had shown up at a, I think it was an anti-war rally, some sort of protest rally, and he was in uniform. Now, his uniform did not have insignias on it, and he was already, you know, had an honorable discharge from the military, but yet he still had his uniform on, and they want to basically take his retirement away from him. I think that's unfortunate. This is the same kind of thing that we're talking about. Various soldiers over there in the theater of war are not allowed to post certain things. I understand that to a certain extent. I understand they can't say, oh, yeah, we're hanging out down here at Camp So-and-so, which is located here, here, and here. It's just a bad idea. So there has to be some sort of balance there between, you know, certain things. National security, for example. I'll give you an example. I was watching CNN earlier tonight, and they were talking about the porous border at the between the U.S. and Canada. We know about the Mexican border and the United States border, and sort of what goes on down there. And in Canada, you don't really anticipate some of the same problems. But they were talking about a stretch of territory. I believe it was somewhere, well, I'm not even going to say. Because then, see, I almost fell into the CNN trap. I stopped myself, though. I didn't fall. But see, here's what CNN does. They identify the exact area on the U.S. and the Canadian border where the border's wide open. And they say, oh, here's what happens. When you cross from Canada into the United States at this place, there's a sign on the side of the road, and it says, please go check in at the border, you know, checkpoint. And anybody who's ever driven into Canada or Mexico knows that it pretty much looks like toll booths, right? You pull up there, they say, who are you? You know, where do you live? Where were you born? Where do you, what is your business in such and such country? How long are you planning to stay? And, you know, go ahead, move along. Nowadays, I presume they check your passports as well. But in this particular place that they exposed on CNN, you know, the border checkpoint you're supposed to take yourself to. You know, you don't have to cross it. Once you cross the border, they say, oh, on the honor system, go and check yourself in. It's a little shack. It looks like a bus shelter, and it's not much bigger than a bus shelter. And you go in there, and there's a little phone. And you pick up the phone, and you press who you want to call, the Canadian Border Patrol or the U.S. Border Patrol, and you press the button, and then it's a video phone. So, you know, the little video screen pops up, and there's a border agent 50 miles away who answers the phone. And they ask you who you are and, you know, what your business is, and you got to hold your passport up to the camera so they can look at it, and then presumably they tell you if you're allowed to stay. And if you say no, you know, or they say no, you're supposed to what? On the honor system, take yourself back across the border into Canada? It's bizarre. So, again, I understand the troops maybe not being able to divulge certain bits of information in the interests of national security and whatnot. What, how about that? I mean, that's kind of a bad thing. You know, it's got some terrorists who maybe decide they're going to smuggle themselves into Canada or try to get into Canada because it's easier than getting into the United States, and then just stroll across the border in that exact location where they showed it on the map and everything. So it'll be exactly how it works. I don't know. Where's the limits on that? Now, is that still free speech? Yeah. Is it an important story? Sure. I learned something various people learned something. Hopefully enemies of the state didn't learn something. But the point is that maybe such stories will outrage the American people, and this will be corrected as a result. I mean, I think that's what everybody in the media wants from whatever it is that they do. You want to see some results. You want to see change being made for the better. You want to see a difference being made out there in the world. So, I don't know, though. Who knows? It's such a bizarre thing. But anyway, Alito is saying he's reluctant to support restrictions of what people can say or to speak or to write on the Internet. And, again, I think they have a vested interest in certain things happening. I think we all know this by now, do we not? That there are infiltrators out there? There's infiltrators everywhere. They're in every single movement, every single group, every single idea and concept. There are people out there who are either being used without their knowledge or they're actively participating and being rewarded for their participation. However it is they're being utilized is up for debate. And I think we've all covered some of this, right? I mean, to a certain extent, we've talked about people who are involved and sort of what their role is in the whole thing. And some of you maybe believe it. Some of you disbelieve it. Some of you believe it further than others. But the point is they have a vested interest in allowing the crazies to be able to post whatever they want. Now, some people would call me one of the crazies. I don't know. Maybe I am. Who cares? I don't do a lot of posting on the Internet, but I do the show. So what I'm saying is that if they are, if Alito, Justice Samuel Alito, if he's out there, you know, supporting free speech and allowing people to post whatever they want on the Internet, within bounds, within reason, then you would say that they probably have some vested interest in being able to do that. I mean, obviously, you talk about the Internet, and we talked about the privacy concerns and the tracking software and Google being able to monitor all kinds of information. They want you to be there. They don't want you to avoid that stuff. They want you to be a part of it because they want to be able to track you and monitor you and learn about you. So, of course, they're not going to do this. But it, you know, it's presented in such a way that we're supposed to cheer and be relieved that Samuel Alito is one of us. I don't know that he is or he is not, but there are some allegations out there. Anyway, it finishes up by saying, the newest justice who was protective of speech rights as an appellate judge added that, quote, some restrictions have been held to be consistent with the First Amendment, but it's very dangerous for the government to restrict speech, end quote. Maybe it is or maybe it isn't. I think it is dangerous, certainly, because then people will want to speak. But at the same time, we all have that right, and we should be utilizing it anyway, so it's sort of a moot thing. But when you're getting into discussions like this, which is worse, to ban the ability to say certain things or to allow things to be said and then allow outrage and high drama over it? For example, of course, the Don Imus thing. And he says nappy-headed hoes, people freak out, not the people he directed the comment at, but everybody else, and of course he ends up losing his job, and it's just a media circus. It's like the big story. Lots of drama, other talk show hosts and disc jockeys fired for doing something similar or something that is deemed to be potentially moderately offensive. It's just, we're just a society of babies for the most part, I think. So as far as free speech goes, they don't have to restrict it. They can let you say what you want within reason and then just be highly offended by it and demand, you know, restitution for the hurt feelings and the tears that you caused. Go figure. Anyway, I bring all that up because, again, when you talk about the Internet and you talk about people gathering together and sharing information, inevitably something like this might come up, which I thought to be an intriguing thing. It's from the blog section of Wired.com, and it came out yesterday. It says, why does a small but devoted group of intelligence officials continue to follow the UFO community long after the government disavowed any secret evidence of little green men? The author says, I have no idea. I just presumed they were looking for UFOs. But a few weeks ago, a writer named Gus Russo called me and said he was writing about this particular group of spooks. His final conclusion is that, in fact, these crafty guys are monitoring the UFO community in an attempt to keep tabs on foreign intelligence who may have already infiltrated the group. This is an intriguing theory, and we'll finish this story up when we come back, folks. In 3 minutes, stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. We were talking about this story out of Wired.com in the blog section, dated yesterday, talking about, basically federal officials, spooks, CIA, NSA, all that jazz, infiltrating the UFO community. And again, the idea here is very intriguing. I don't know if it's true or it's not true, but I suppose if you put yourself in their mindset and look at it from their point of view, I suppose you can see the rationale here. But here's the excerpt from, I presume, this guy's article, who the writer is sourcing. And it says, quote, in a recent interview, a senior intelligence official who is familiar with spooks in cyberspace explained, quote, Tom is interested in the subject because, one, he is concerned that DIA officers parading as CIA officers, which is a felony, are leaking classified material to the UFO groups. He also knows that in years past, the KGB used parapsychology and paranormal groups to get the military people with classified information. He is concerned that any enemy group could easily use these forums to search out national security secrets. Joel Brenner, the United States National Counterintelligence Chief, recently said that the number of Russian agents operating in the country had reached quote, Cold War levels, end quote, according to the Russian News and Information Agency, end quote. So the premise here is that foreign agents would be sort of infiltrating the UFO communities, not to talk about UFOs per se, but to find out what the U.S. government is playing around with. Now, we've talked about some of this stuff before, such as the Disclosure Project. Fantastic. Almost irrefutable. I mean, I suppose you could refute some of it, but you'd be hard-pressed to do so. You got hundreds of ex-military contractors, you know, defense contractors and military officials, officers and very high-ranking personnel coming out and saying, yeah, you know, we've got these sorts of advanced aircraft of some sort. And, you know, they would say that it's retro-engineered from UFOs of some capacity. I don't know. Is it possible? Yeah, absolutely. Evidence? Certainly. Proof? I don't know. I suppose I'm convinced to a point. But anyway, the idea here then is that foreign intelligence officials would infiltrate UFO groups and be able to figure out what sort of, you know, talk to some of these high-level military personnel in the confidence of, hey, let's talk about UFOs. And they'll say, oh, yeah, I was at this base, and they got this there, and they got this there, and I saw this, and I flew this, and I built this, that sort of thing. Well, what they're saying now is that our own government, our own spies, are spying on the UFO community to find out if there is any information in the UFO community that would be dangerous if it were in foreign hands, for example. That's the concept here. Like I said, it's intriguing, but it brings up some other issues. But let me finish the story. It says, Russo cites as further evidence, quote, in 2004, the CIA released under a Freedom of Information Act request the Stargate archive files, which reveal that the CIA was indeed concerned about monitoring UFO authors who might be privy to classified material, end quote. So the author says, so if I get this right, these spooks don't really believe in UFOs, but they're worried that foreign intelligence agents have infiltrated UFO groups that have military members with classified information. And what sort of classified information do these supposed foreign intelligence types think they're going to get from the UFO group other than UFO information? Well, I think I already answered that question, and of course, maybe the author here not privy to the same guess and information that I've read and researched. But the big problem here is this highlights a whole other issue, folks, and that issue is this. And just like the first story we talk about, Justice Alito is saying that limits on free speech are dangerous, and I said, how can they use that for their advantage? And again, the suspicious perspective of this whole thing would simply be to say that they want people to speak freely and feel able to do so, so they can find out more information. The second story is, again, another glaring example. Just like when you go to the airport, you're not treated as somebody who might be in danger, somebody who needs protection from terrorists. You're treated as a potential terrorist who might damage, you know, the airplane or something, because God knows they don't really care too much about the people. So it's a situation where, again, we have constantly, we are being treated as potential criminals, potential terrorists, potential security leaks. It's just, it's infuriating and it's insulting to me. I just think that we as a country and we as a people are strong enough where we don't need to cave into this fear. Yet this is exactly the same thing that we see day in and day out in a variety of different news stories that all spell out and point the finger in the same direction, that we are all being treated as potential criminals. Now, I'd ask you the question, why? Are we that paranoid? Some would say yes, some would say no. Some would say it's the government's job to think worst-case scenarios, and as a result of that, I don't mind an extra pat down at the airport, people may say. I think it's a little bit different. You may recall the climate change story coming out of the UK. Now, this was, I guess, moderately comparable to the Pentagon abrupt climate change scenario, but the British one basically took a look at where the UK and the rest of the world would sort of be in 30 years. And one of the things they talked about was various populations will start to have revolutions against the governments in power. They'll start to have revolutions and take back access to natural resources. People who are starving want to be fed. People who are energy deprived want to be able to travel. People who are thirsting to death want something to drink. So that's probably why we're being treated that way. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Our guest joining us in about 25 minutes, Greg Colson, news analyst. I look forward to chatting with him as always. Keep in mind, this hour is being brought to you by our good friends at Howard Creek Resort. They have 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins. And if you don't know what those are, basically just freestanding cabins. No neighbors on the other side of the door. It's kind of like having your own place out in the woods, and it's a really, really nice setup. You can see the floor plans and photos online if you'd like. That is www.howardcreek.com. Now, they are conveniently located to a wide assortment of things, a lot of wonderful outdoor activities. They have a boat dock, and they have their own lake right there, Bull Shoals Lake. Well, it's not theirs, but they have access to it. It's wonderful. Beautiful, peace and quiet, and just that whole area is just a lot of fun. Lots of options for you, especially if you're an outdoorsy sort of person. But anyway, you can call them toll-free, ask your questions, make your reservations at 877-253-7690. still have some space available for 4th of July, which falls on a Wednesday, strangely enough. But, you know, maybe you'll get the day off and you guys can tool on over there and check it out for yourselves. They have a legendary fireworks display that goes on, and you can take the boat out there and watch it from the lake, which obviously with the reflective surface just got to make it stunning. Very, very fun way to celebrate the freedom of America. Okay. So we appreciate our sponsors and our advertisers, and we ask you guys to support them and make sure that they're that you take good care of these businesses and the people that make this show and this network possible. These are good people like you, like me, and they want to support something they believe in, and that's us here at the show, and we appreciate them endlessly for that. So take good care of them as well. Now, we've talked about this before in the whole context of all these stories. There's obviously themes that run through the news segments, and this would be, you know, surveillance and freedom and privacy and whatnot. But this one, I think, is very intriguing. If this affects you, you may want to pay close attention to what's going on in Garland, Texas. This is from www.thenewspaper.com. Put a lot of thought into that website, didn't they? Here's what it says. The red light camera programs throughout Texas have opened themselves up to a significant new legal challenge. KTVT-TV reports that Garland, Texas, has essentially made up its own definition of red light running in order to ticket motorists who have not violated the law. So they found a way to qualify someone as being a moving violator without them actually having violated any laws. Since Garland is one of the first cities to adopt red light cameras, its ordinance served as a model for the rest of the state. Most other cities use Garland's definition of red light running. According to Garland's ordinance, a ticket will be issued, quote, if the vehicle proceeds into an intersection at a system location where the traffic control signal for that vehicle's direction of travel is emitting a steady red signal, end quote. Okay, that makes sense. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. Garland defines entering the intersection as crossing an imaginary line that runs between the endpoints of the curb drawn parallel to the crosswalk. At one Garland intersection, the imaginary line would be 10 feet beyond the painted stop bar. According to Texas law, a motorist must stop, quote, at a clearly marked stop line when the red light is displayed. If the vehicle passes the physical line where the light is yellow or green, the driver may cautiously continue through the intersection. By creating an imaginary unmarked stop line, Garland has given itself another 10 feet in which it can ticket drivers. How do you like that? So you've got your line that you're supposed to stop at, and, you know, if it's not red and you're moving, you could just move cautiously, continue on through, not a big deal. However, now they've got a basically an additional 10 feet that they're able to throw in there where it may not even be red. You may be stopping, but you've stopped past the imaginary line. You will get a ticket in the mail. It's fascinating. Despicable, not really surprising, and fascinating at the same time that they're so greedy and so innovative that they'll just go around and start changing things like that in order to make the opportunity to raise a little more money, a potential one. Most people aren't going to fight something like that. They'll say, well, maybe I did. I don't remember. So long ago. There's my picture of my car, and you know, I'll just pay it and be done with it. Most people won't fight that stuff. Anyway, about 80% of red light camera tickets issued nationwide are mailed to the owners of the vehicles that entered an intersection less than 1 second after the light turned red. For most cities, the majority of citations are issued as little as 0.1 seconds after the light turns red. By changing the definition of the stop bar, Garland has, in effect, allowed itself to ticket drivers 0.2 seconds earlier at 35 miles per hour than state law would permit. Motorists whose tickets show a very low, quote-unquote, late time or, quote, time into red, end quote, may now be able to mount a legal challenge. Farmers Branch motorist Noel Hillis showed KTVT a $175 refund check that he received when he filed a municipal court appeal of a Garland hearing officer's ruling. The red light camera photo showed that Hillis was beyond the stop bar when the light turned red. So again, you know, there are people fighting this, and that's a good thing, but it's just a sick thing, and I'll give you an example. Here in Northwest Arkansas, we've got a you know, interstate, and it runs north to south. It's called 540. It's more or less the only one, okay? So this thing goes, and it's two lanes on either side going north and two lanes going south. So anyway, I've mentioned this before because it irks me. Whenever there's a Walmart shareholders meeting, all the road construction stops, everything is done until the meeting is over, and all the Walmart people are very impressed with Northwest Arkansas, and then they go on their way, and then the construction starts again. So, you know, there's an interruption of construction with no discernible change whatsoever. Whether they're doing construction or they're not, it always looks the same, rides the same. But what they did was they closed down one of these two lanes. And there's only two. Okay, it's not a four-lane or an eight-lane or anything like that. It's just two lanes. And they closed down one of the lanes to do construction. And they'll put up a sign that says, merge now, or something like that. And then just, you know, maybe a couple dozen feet later, it says, do not pass. So what they were doing is in this, you know, we have a moderate sort of rush hour. Certain times of the day, there's a lot of traffic out there, a lot of people traveling. So anyway, there's a big, long line of cars in the one lane, and if you're traveling in the right lane thinking you're going to squeeze through, somebody's going to be nice and let you in, that's fine. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But you get to the thing that says merge now. If you don't merge now and you get to, you're still in that lane, when it gets to the thing that says do not pass, they were writing tickets for people. And they were just sitting there and racking it up. And I know I was reading about it in the local newspaper, a lot of people were upset about this. And they were writing, I don't know, hundreds of tickets. And the tickets were probably $150. Now think about that. In the area that they were doing it, which is Rogers, Arkansas, it's in between Bentonville and where I am. It's a very affluent area. A lot of rich people live there. So most people are just going to pay the ticket and be done with it, whether they did something or they did not. Now, if you go and you fight that sort of thing, well, then you go to court, and then they say, well, you know, we're going to have to do a court date here, and then 2 weeks later, another court date, or 30 days later, another one. And you're inconvenienced because you got to take time off work, and then most people just pay that. And then, of course, if you go to court for a couple of appearances and you try to argue with it, they'll tell you. They'll say, hey, look, you can proceed if you want. We advise you to pay this. But if you do not pay this, you might be liable for court costs as well. So you tack on an extra $200 to the money you already pay and all the work you've missed as a result of it. So just a massive inconvenience. So when you look at a situation like that where they actually change the ability to ticket you for red light running, you can see why. It's all about the money. Getting back to the cyber spying sort of thing, well, we talked about this a little bit last night and certainly earlier in the week and last week as well. This one came out Monday, Reuters. Top online video service YouTube will soon test a new video identification technology with two of the world's largest media companies, Time Warner Incorporated and the Walt Disney Company. The technology developed by engineers at YouTube owner Google, they're everywhere, will help content owners such as movie and TV studios identify videos uploaded to the site without the copyright owner's permission. Legal, marketing, and strategy executives at YouTube told Reuters in an interview Monday. The so-called video fingerprinting tools, which identify unique attributes in the video clips, will be available for testing in about a month, a YouTube executive said. Said Chris Maxey, YouTube Partner Development Director, quote, the technology was built with Disney and Time Warner in mind. He added that since earlier this year, Google has been testing audio fingerprinting tools with record labels. These tools can be used to identify copyrighted material, after which media companies can decide if they would like to remove the material or keep it up as part of a revenue-sharing deal with YouTube, which can sell advertising alongside of it. Once proven to work, the technology could be used to block the uploading of copyrighted clips, YouTube product manager David King said. It aims to make the tools widely available to any copyright owner later this year. So in essence, this is more restriction on the amount of material that you are able to use. And of course, if you are if you upload something that is copyrighted, guess what? It's like the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, and the incredible amounts of frivolous lawsuits that they filed against college students who were downloading songs, kind of like the whole Napster thing, but a little different in this capacity. These people are just after people to make money. Now, I know a lot of the musicians and whatnot are saying, yeah, this is a terrible thing. This is a terrible thing. We should be paid for our work. Shame on you. You're supposed to be musicians. You're supposed to be artists. You should be glad the people want your stuff. And I've already found the solution to that. Make the CD packaging more interesting. People will buy the CD. It's very simple. So anyway, this is just more opportunities from revenue from lawsuits and things like that. Anyway, concludes. YouTube officials said they've been quietly testing ways to help identify the audio tracks of video clips with major record labels using technology from privately held Audible Magic as early as the first 2 months of 2007. These tools will be made available to all content owners later this year, depending on the results of the tests, YouTube executive said Monday. It's typically not something we talk about, said Maxey, saying, quote, we wanted to clear the air. It's not something typically we talk about, however, we wanted to clear the air. How about that? So all of these little digital fingerprints and audio fingerprints, they have to have a way to discern that, and odds are you probably already have that type of technology on your computer, some sort of spyware that can monitor things that you're listening to, that you're watching, and so on and so forth. So be cognizant of these things, my friends. Your privacy is at stake. Last night we had Al Cuppett on the show, and Al was talking about the concentration camps in America, the FEMA camps and the FEMA lists, the red lists and the blue lists and green lists and yellow lists and all that jazz, and sort of what's going on with that. And he said back in the, I think he said it was in the 90s, there was like 6.5 million Americans on these lists. That's a lot. Well, we know there are probably significantly more at this point, being the fact that we've had other incidents. We've had, acts of terror, whatever you want to call it, incidents. I mean, obviously, we had September 11th and whatnot, but other things as well, things that have taken place, things that have gone down, and, Eric Rudolph and domestic terrorism, and now, oh, yeah, we got to watch out for those locals and people who are perpetrating various things. They're talking about the thing today on CNN about the Fort Dix Six, these supposed terrorists who, you know, some of whom are from abroad, but most of them are American citizens for the most part, from other places, probably. And they were going to stage an attack on a military base, Fort Dix. That's ridiculous. That is the most preposterous thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't know how serious they were about it. They supposedly were trying to acquire, you know, RPGs and mortars and things like that. But what are you thinking about? What are you going to do on a military base? You're going to attack a military base for what? Don't they have guns there? Isn't that the most foolish target you can choose, with the exception of maybe, you know, the White House or something like that with incredible amounts of security? You don't think a military base has the capacity to defend itself? That's asinine. I just don't believe it. But anyway, all this talk about these domestic terror plots, and then, of course, you got the JFK supposed bombing that was going to happen, which I don't even believe that either. These are preemptive prosecutions, you know, before a crime has been committed. But anyway, it all leads back to one thing, which is what I had talked about earlier. The surveillance that we're under and the reason why they try to pay attention and make lists. And they do it for a variety of reasons. The immigration bill would give them a working database, some sort of database to find out if you're legal to be working in the United States. Then there's the no-fly list. Then there's the terrorism watch list. Then there's this and there's that and there's this and there's that. And all these things ultimately can be synced up and they can acquire quite a bit of information on you. Now, if you are somebody who uses credit cards with reckless abandon or debit cards or ATM cards, you're all over the place. They know exactly where you are. They're like, at this time of the day, you purchase something from the gas station. Then you walked across the street and purchased something over here at the restaurant. Then you walked down the street and, they know exactly what you're doing. In addition to the fact that a lot of the places that you might do business, when you have a membership card, like a loyalty card, they call it in the stores, and then you get discounts. You get, oh, you saved 8 cents today. Great. But all your products have been inventoried. They know what you're buying. Same thing with video stores. I used to work at a video store, and I know they keep databases of what you rented and how long you had it for and, all that jazz. And they keep those going back for years. And we know about Google and keeping track of emails and instant messages and all that stuff. So anyway, it gets to the point where you'd have to say that odds are the watch lists and the red lists and blue lists and the terrorism lists and all that stuff, that they're probably far, far, far more inflated than they would have us know. But this is from the blog section, the blotter, I guess you could call it, at abcnews.com, and it came out yesterday. And it says, a terrorist watch list compiled by the FBI has apparently swelled to include more than 500,000 names. Privacy and civil liberty advocates say the list is growing uncontrollably, threatening its usefulness in the war on terror. The Bureau says the number of names on its terrorism watch list is classified. A portion of the FBI's unclassified 2008 budget request posted to the Department of Justice website, however, refers to, quote, the entire watch list of 509,000 names, end quote, which is utilized by its Foreign Terrorist Tracking Task Force. 509,000 names for the FBI's watch list. Now, a spokesman for the Interagency National Counterterrorism Center, known as NCTC, which maintains the government's list of all suspected terrorists with links to international organizations, said they had 465,000 names covering 350,000 individuals. Many names are different versions of the same identity, for example, Osama bin Laden and Usama bin Laden. That's preposterous. You're telling me there's 115,000 aliases in this database? I just don't believe that. It seems like they could very easily just say, if you type in one, you know, it lists that as an alias. You know, kind of like when you go to Wikipedia, you may type in something and it'll say, well, keep in mind there are these references as well. You know, links, offshoots, tangents, whatever you want to call it. So I think that's preposterous to believe that. Anyway, it says, in addition to the NCTC list, the FBI keeps a list of U.S. persons who are believed to be domestic terrorists, abortion clinic bombers, for example, or firebombing environmental extremists who have no known tie to an international terrorist group. That's the FBI's list. So the NCTC tends to keep track of foreign terrorist suspects. 465,000 names covering 350,000 individuals. The FBI's list keeps track of domestic terrorists. 509,000. Significantly more potential domestic terrorists, wouldn't you say? Stay with us.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Time to waste, I'll make this all about you. I don't need your help.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. Tail end of our first hour already, and we're just getting started here. Amazing. Talking about this story, which, again, ABCNews.com, talk about the FBI terror watch list as being, quote-unquote, out of control. I think it is out of control. Think about that. 350,000 people as a part of the National Counterterrorism Center, their list, the interagency group, the NCTC, 350,000 individuals on that list. But the FBI, which is the domestic terrorists, abortion clinic bombers, firebombing environmental extremists, okay, who have no known ties to international terrorist groups, those people, 500,000, 509,000. So you're trying to tell me there's more abortion bombers, there's more environmental crazy people, crazy environmentalists, that there's more of those than there are real terrorists? Is that what you're saying? And again, I think it ties back into what the British report was saying about in 30 years, you know, various populations are going to revolt against the governments because the governments are trying to keep them all sort of, you know, squashed. Anyway, so it goes on. It says, combined, the NCTC and FBI compendia comprise the watch list used by federal security screener personnel on the lookout for terrorists. While the NCTC has made no secret of its terrorist tally, the FBI has consistently declined to tell the public how many names are on this list. Because the number is classified, an FBI spokesman told the blotter on ABCNews.com he's unable to comment for the story. Said ACL Senior Legislative Counsel Tim Sparapani, quote, it grows seemingly without control or limitation. He said that the 509,000 figure is stunning. He told ABC News, quote, if you have 509,000 names on that list, the watch list is virtually useless. You'll be capturing innocent individuals with no connection to crime or terror. U.S. lawmakers and their spouses have been detained because their names are on the watch list. Reporters who have interviewed versions of the list, reviewed versions of the list, found it included the names of former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein at the time that he was alive and in custody in Iraq, imprisoned al-Qaeda plotter Zacharias Moussaoui, and 14 of the 19 September 11, 2001 hijackers, all of whom perished in the attacks. Said Sparapani, quote, there's a reason the FBI has a 10 most wanted list, right? We need to focus the government's efforts on the greatest threats. When the watch list grows to this level, it is useless as an anti-terror tool. End quote. An excellent, excellent point. If you're viewing it, and again, you have to wonder, if the USA Patriot Act has only been applied against American citizens, doesn't that imply that the anti-terrorism measures are focused more on domestic terrorists or domestic surveillance than they are against foreign operatives? Yes, it does. If the FBI's list of domestic terrorists, people who bomb abortion clinics and who are environmentally, you know, rabid about their causes, that they want to go blow stuff up or set animals free or, you know, screw up logging farms, you're telling me that's over 500,000 people, but all around the whole planet, people with known terror ties, only 350,000 of those? I mean, where's our primary focus? And we've talked about this in other areas as well. When you look at the amount of people that are being prosecuted for immigration violations and how little of those are for terrorism or any sort of national security related thing. Well, then that begs the question, is the majority of the money going to fight anti-terrorism measures, going to fight terrorism, I should say, is that being applied against potential terrorists or is it being applied against American people? And I think we think, you know, with substantial amount of evidence and stories like this that completely reinforce all of this, that we, the people here in America, are the targets of surveillance, suspicion, and viewed as potential criminals. And that makes me just sick. Anyway, stay with us. We're back in 90 seconds.